I'm titling this next section called Hidden in Plain Sight. My wife gave me this. I was trying to describe to her something, and she said, oh, you're looking for Hidden in Plain Sight, aren't you? So that's what this next section is going to be about. I have a subtitle that we'll use in a minute. But I have, I'm going to show you some things, and we're going to talk about it. And like I said, this is an intro. This is something that I wanted you to see. It's not that nobody in here has ever seen this. Everybody in here has seen this. But I'm going to show you a picture I took from the web. And it's of Exodus 3:15. It's from the site av1611.com, which is the King James Version first printing, 1611. This is taken from their site. Now, I know it's hard to see, but over here in the right corner under the word page, it says av1611.com. Now, if you look down at verse 15, you'll see that it says the Lord God of your fathers. You see the word Lord is in capital letters. I'm highlighting it here. Okay? Now, what do we know about that? We know that it's not the Hebrew word Adonai. It's not in the Hebrew text there. It is Yod Heh Vav Heh. It's that way in the Samaritan version. It's that way in the Dead Sea Scroll version. It's that way in the Masoretic text version, although they have the vowel pointing for Adonai. But the fact of the matter is the name for all the people who read English translation Bibles and don't look at the underlying text, it's the Lord. And it occurs several thousand times that way. So, in a sense, the name is hidden in plain sight, in a sense. Now, it's present in the Tanakh and was used by friend and foe alike. I just wanted you to know Pharaoh used the name. And then over time, it came suppressed, and loss is one of those words with baggage. It was kind of lost to people who did not know it existed. It was there to be found. And like I said, this is not new news. I'm not telling you something, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Everybody here knows that. So, why did I give you that example? My subtitle to Hidden in Plain Sight is Untranslated Riches. And this is a situation where if all you have is the English, you don't know what's there. I think I did a count on the AV1611 version, and it was translated the Lord, with the Lord in capital letters, 6,823 times, I think was the number. That's a lot of times to hide something, I think. Okay. Now, one of the things that has always surprised me when I have discussed this with people, because remember, one aspect of my outreach is to Protestant Christianity, since that's where I came from as a Southern Baptist, is I will explain this, and I will show it, and I will demonstrate it, and then they will say, nah, I think I'm going to stay with my English. The Lord. I always didn't know how to respond to that. Okay. Now, what is the special thing that we're going to be doing at Shavuot in 2 weeks? The American Bible Challenge, Hebrew Roots Version. Okay, so I put this in so I could give you all some help as to what we're going to do in that game. Okay? Now, as far as situations that we have already gone over in this assembly, and I just put three, Romans 14:14, what did we find? When Paul says that nothing is unclean of itself, we found out in the underlying Greek language that the word unclean is not there. That's what we found. And not only that, but we went all the way back to the first English version that was not translated from the Latin, which was in the early 1400s, and we marched all the way up to 1611 and looked at every single English version that was published, and I put it on the screen so you could see that with the exception of one, they all translated it correctly, and the one that was mistranslated was corrected the next year. And so here's another case of the truth was hidden in plain sight because people only had their English Bible. And most people did not look under the hood. Colossians 2:16 and 17, the NIV. This is the place where the NIV translates that the festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths were shadows of things to come. The fact of the matter is that the verb is in present tense. So it should be translated that the festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths are shadows of things to come. So once again, if you're working from an English NIV and you do not look under the hood, you would read that and say, oh, wow, so I guess the feasts are done because they were a shadow, but they're not a shadow anymore because they purposely translated it in the past tense to throw us off. All right, and the last one was last year, what did we study? We studied the role of women in the assembly. And in Romans 16:1, Phoebe, if you look at the Greek text, the Greek text is deacon. But if you look at the majority of the English text, they will either put minister or servant. Now, what we discovered was there's a Greek word for minister, but it's not there. And there's a Greek word for servant, but it's not there. The Greek word that's there is deacon. But then what we saw was, as we looked at the history of the translation, we discovered that men decided that women could not have any authority over men in the assembly, so they purposely changed the translation into English, and if you don't look under the hood, you don't know what the word really says there. That was just one of a dozen that we looked at the text to find out what it said, and it was different. So, I'm just giving you those because they'll probably show up on the Bible game. Don't know exactly how I'm going to phrase the question yet, but we're going to have fun with that. Okay. But anyway, so this is an example of what we're doing is to uncover what's been hidden in plain sight, also known as untranslated riches, to determine what the Scripture's really saying. The Spirit inspired something to be written. Why are we changing it? Unless there's a compelling reason to translate it differently from what is in the text, who am I? That's my question. So, I want to know the truth. I really don't care what it is. Just want to find it so I can walk it. And like I said, so many people that I've spoke to within Protestant Christianity that are still holding on to the Lord. It's a mystery. All right. Another position that I want to share with you some things could not be revealed in the Torah or the Tanakh openly because they would have changed the course of God's plan. Now, that may seem like a very strong statement, but I do have text to support this. And you know, there have been some people that I've shared with at the Feast of Tabernacles, or they've shared with me, they have said things like, if it's not in the Torah, then it shouldn't be in the New Testament. Well, I'm sorry, but you know, some things can be hidden so that they're very difficult to see, or they're not said clearly. They're still kind of there, but they're just kind of hidden. So I want to explain to you why I'm taking this position. The crucifixion of Yeshua falls into this group of this could not be openly discussed in Tanakh. And let's see what the text says. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. To me, that tells me that certain things had to be suppressed at a minimum for God's plan to proceed. So that's what I meant by that explanation there. All right, continue. My initials are in the brackets because this is my translation from the Greek text, starting in Ephesians 3 and going verses 8 through 11. We're going to take it slow because in the next three or four presentations, we're going to review Ephesians 3, 8 through 11 in every one of them. Here we go. Paul says, "Unto me, the least of all of God's people, has been given this pleasure, that I should bring the good news to the Gentiles, teaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see." The Greek word there is the word for going into a room that's dark and bringing light to the room. They didn't have light switches, but, you know, they had something. "To make all people see what is the management of the sacred secret." That's interesting. Management of the sacred secret, also known as the great mystery, hidden away from the ages. So it was hidden away from the ages in God who created all things, in order that now who are we talking about here? Principalities and authorities in the heavenlies. Is this the host or is this the enemy? "In order that now unto the principalities and the authorities in the heavenlies might be made known through the assembly the manifold wisdom of God." By the way, manifold, the Greek word there, means something that's manifested in a great variety of forms. That's what the word is. So I use the word manifold. I think that's the word, the KJV. But it means multiple forms of being able to express. All right. "Now unto principalities and authorities in the heavenlies might be made known through the assembly the manifold wisdom of God according to the plan of the ages, which he purposed in Messiah Yeshua our Lord." That's my translation of 8 through 11. Feel free to input to me. All right, let's continue with this. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners..." I love that KJV talk there. I just had to keep that. "At sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things." But then what else does it say? "By whom also he made the ages." The ages didn't even exist, but they were created by Yeshua to accommodate the plan of God, which was hidden and is now being revealed. That's what the text is saying. Okay, I'm glad you all asked this question. It's a very good question. What is an age? You're familiar with the Hebrew olam and the Greek eon, and these are the words that should be translated as age. How many are familiar with the technique procedure of usage? That's how we did Sheol. We looked at almost every passage in Tanakh that contains Sheol to see how it was used. We're going to use that same procedure with the word for age. Okay? We will also use TLG. This is here because this will be in the American Bible Challenge. It's the Thesaurus Langue Grace. I put the website there. It'll be available in the PDF. And what this is just a reminder. It's every Greek text in existence up to the 15th century, where they type in the text into a database so you can search for the use of every word that's been used in every document that's in Greek. It's available at my library. Now, something that I thought was interesting, and this goes back to my title, Hidden in Plain Sight, King James Version in the New Testament, the English word age, that's the English word A-G-E, appears 12 times. And in all 12, it's not in the Greek text. I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised, I have to say. And then the plural occurs four times, and twice the translation of eon, and twice it's not. So if this was baseball, I'd be 2 for 16, and I'd probably get fired. Okay. Now, let's talk about eon. In the New Testament, the Greek word eon occurs in 192 times. That's a lot more than 16. So we got some stuff to look at. And in the Old Testament, it shows up 575 times and 0 for 42 and 0 for 0. It's never translated from the word. And I'm like, well, isn't that just downright odd? So that's why I have it as hidden in plain sight. We got some things to look at. All right. One of our foundational texts will be PhD, dissertation by Mrs. Helen Keyser. It's called Lifetime in Entirety, A Study of Eon in Greek Literature and Philosophy, the Septuagint and Philo. I'm going to provide you a link where you can access this dissertation for free online. I'm not recommending that you read it. It's 350 pages. But I enjoyed it. It was very informative. And we will take into consideration some of her conclusions. I will provide some quotes for you on it. But just like, what did we do when we were studying the underworld? We had to look at the classic literature, and we had to see how they used it and how it transformed over time so that we could understand the paganism that entered the first century by the Jews. And that's what we discovered. So we're going to use this book periodically to quote conclusions about the classic literature. All right, but do not be concerned. It's not a required reading. It's only a suggestion. All right, so this is an introduction to what we're going to do. We will pick up at the next presentation. We will begin to go through the text so that we can learn a little bit more about an age. It's fascinating. I've discovered stuff I never knew, and that was in the last month. Okay, there's the path. You'll be able to get that off of your PDF if you want to go get the book. All right, moving forward. We will do age part one in 2 weeks. We will look at a variety of things concerning ages so that we can figure out how we fit into this. Because if this is the plan, if it was hidden before creation, if Yeshua created them to accomplish the plan of God, and the plan is to be managed by the assembly, we need to find out about it. I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. And that is the end of this presentation. So now I will take additional questions.